Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
And welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside the episode titled What It Takes to Win. And I was super excited when David told me he was going to record this one because he brought my love of sports into it, which obviously we can geek out for quite some time. So David, first of all, thank you so much for doing this episode. I think you can tell right now that you are really studying greatness and what it takes to win. Am I right there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I am. I'm getting into the sports angle, which is, as you know, is not really my thing. But watching a superstar in any endeavor in life is my thing. So, yeah, with the whole thing with Kobe and Jordan, you know, that's going on right now, it's really blowing my mind. And I love studying those guys.
Yeah, totally. I mean, greatness is greatness, right? So whether you're talking about a great athlete, like you mentioned mainly in this episode, or you're talking about somebody who's excelled greatly in business, or you've talked about somebody who excels greatly on stage or screen, I mean, greatness is greatness. So I know that there's people who get turned off sometimes by athletes and they don't want to study the person. They can't separate the sport from the person. But the reality is you have this uncanny ability to go in, look at the person for what that person is doing and really see what they're doing to tap into their greatness. I think it's incredible.
You know, it's something that has been an obsession with me all my life, looking at people that have done extraordinary things and then trying to find out what is the real cause of what they're doing. Because when you find, like you hear about, yeah, okay, so Kobe went in, did 900 shots after he would make a mistake and he would do that over and over again to master it. But the question is like, what's causing that? What's causing the person to do that? And how do they get themselves to do it? Which is what most people are thinking. How do I get myself to do that? And then one day I realized they don't think about how do I get myself to do it. They're thinking about a different game entirely. And that's what we covered in the episode.
Yeah, totally. They're playing on a different plane because of the work that they've put in beforehand and the mentality they bring to every single thing they do and not taking any sort of shortcuts. Let's start with talking a little bit about your dream. You mentioned at the top of the episode about how you had a dream. And I believe you said Kobe came to you in this dream.
Yeah.
And said, other people do it for the bling. We do it for the game. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, 100%.
So how cool is that? I mean, what effect did that have on your study and how did you apply that in your own life? That's incredible.
Well, so what's interesting about it was that I had forgotten about it. And when, after Kobe died, I remembered that I had this dream. It was 3 years ago that I had this dream. And I was going through like a difficult time. I lost my mother, my stepdad, I got divorced. Like it was a difficult time in my life. And there, I was questioning, why am I doing what I'm doing? Like you go through those big changes, you start questioning things. And Kobe was not even on my radar. Like, you know me, when would you see me sit down and watch a basketball game or something, right? And then one night I had this dream and it was Kobe and I were on this basketball court. Like, what the hell am I doing on a basketball court? But I didn't even have a ball. He did. And he said to me, like, most people do it for the bling. We do it for the game. And what it meant to me was that it reminded me of why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing it because I love what I'm doing and I love teaching those people and helping people win. And it was weird because I've never been caught up in the buying type. Like, I mean, I have a nice house and cars and stuff like that, but it's not, for me, it's not about making more money so I can buy more things. It's about making more money so I can live the way that I want to live and, you know, build the businesses that I want to build. So I think it was a very interesting injection of someone that was outside of my circle of influence that came into this dream with a message for me that caused me to wake up. And then I started looking into what he was doing and I realized that that's exactly what he was doing. So it was very bizarre, that dream, but it's good though. I'll never forget it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's some pretty elite company right there. The two of you on a basketball court. I mean, you got the mindset and he's obviously got the Mamba mentality. So it's incredible that that was pulled back. Obviously we're still kind of reeling a little bit with the tragedy of losing him in January. And it's hard for me to watch some of the material you've been sending my way in preparation for this episode and some other things you got in the pipeline. But listening to him and what he does and what he's able to do both on and off the court has been really, really impressive. In your study of greatness, in this episode, you mentioned three athletes in particular. You mentioned the great Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, and of course, Kobe Bryant, and how they were able to look at the strengths and weaknesses in their opponents to win the game and basically just crush their souls. I mean, those three men in particular were, they excelled at really getting inside of your head in a way where you were powerless to do anything but succumb. And I think that's part of what greatness is. What does that look like for someone that's in business? Because like I said earlier, there's a lot of people who will look at this and say, well, how can I draw any parallels from an elite athlete to what I'm doing in my business? But there are parallels, obviously. So what are some things that somebody could do who's listening to this to apply this to their business with that sort of mentality it takes to win?
Yeah, I think that the idea is that you want to win, period. So in sports, it's an interesting dynamic because it's based on competition. It's based on beating somebody else. So in that situation, somebody else has to lose for you to win. In business, that's not necessarily so. Somebody doesn't have to lose in order for somebody to win in business, but they do in sports. But the idea behind the winning is very much the same. It is, but you're competing, I think, against yourself. So where have I been? What have I done? What do I want to achieve in life? And how do I best myself as a competitor? How do I do better than I did yesterday? How do I beat the part of me that is looking to back off that day or not apply myself as much or create an excuse? How do I challenge myself to take my business to the next level? So I'm constantly competing against myself in this arena, but it's a competition nevertheless. You know what I mean? So I think that another interesting thing about those three guys, and there's one more you can bring into this, and that would be Babe Ruth. And the reason for that is because there was an interview that I was listening to, a guy said that Jordan, and this is before Kobe started playing, by the way, so I'll leave him out of this. The guy was talking about Jordan being the alpha of males in sports. And he said, there's only two other people that have ever achieved the same kind of status. And one of them was Babe Ruth and the other one was Ali. So I started looking into what was the commonality between these guys. And they all had an amazing psychology around crushing the opponent. So they played a psychological game. Right. And I think we see that now with like McGregor. He plays a crazy psychological game with his opponents. But Kobe did it. Jordan did it. Ali did it, you know, with the rope-a-dope and the trash talking beforehand. And Babe Ruth did it. Like he would get on there and he would point to where it was going and he would totally screw up the pitcher. Like they were done once he pointed that it was going out of the park. So they had this amazing confidence and they overcame their opposition more through psychology than skill set, right? The skill set backed up the psychology, but I think we can do that ourselves. Like our psychology against our weaker self or psychology against middle class or psychology against doing just average or mediocre in life. Like we can crush it if we use our psychology against those things and really standing for what it is that we absolutely want. But we have to tap into our desire to do it.
Yeah, 100%. And you can't let yourself off the hook once you tap into that desire. I think that's one of the biggest things that we talk about on this show. And it's a major part of the transformation that you've taken on over the course of the last few years is when you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it and you're going to do it to the fullest extent. I mean, our company mantra is better your best, and we're pretty damn good at what we do, and we're not ashamed to admit that. But the reality of it is even though we're great, we want to even be better. And I think that's what separates us from other people is that we really do tap into that desire and that greatness that's within. And it's really interesting to see how it plays out, whether it's in, you know, athletics like we're talking about here or in business. If you just strip it down to the barest of essentials, we are humans that are constantly driven by our own internal desire. In the episode, you talked about sometimes people will say, how do I get myself to do blank, whatever that blank is? And you've heard that from people, and it's usually from people who are not working or doing what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah. And you talked about shifting that or changing that story. That's where it has to start. And it also has to start with you really want to have to win in the beginning for any of this to happen. And it starts with desire. And that's something that you yourself addressed early on, even back in the days when you worked on the dock. You knew there was something more for you back then. And that's when you decided to make the shift and enter into your 7 years of study, which you've spoken about at length on this podcast. So the long of it here is, what advice would you give to someone listening to this who is afraid that they're going to follow the wrong desire, if that's possible, or if they're going to make a mistake around what it takes to what their true desire is? Because I think you may hear a lot, people just don't really know what it is that they desire inside, right?
I know. That's why I said on the podcast, like, it could be a pair of shoes, it could be a car. Like, this is something that blew my mind, Tuss. The desire comes in, it's pointing you to a direction of something better. It doesn't necessarily mean your career is better or something significant. It could be something very insignificant. And that's where it kind of cloaks what's actually going on. But it's taking you in this direction of up-leveling your life. So when the person is in a place like me, like when I was on a forklift, I wanted to buy a boat. Like, I wanted this boat that was like $20,000. Like, what the hell business do I have buying a boat that's $20,000? But it's guiding me to an up level. Where people miss it is they think it's about the boat or about the car or about the shoes or about the dress or whatever. It's not. It's about the up level. And if they to that up level, they'll want another one. But the feedback that they get from people is to stop wanting things. Pay attention to what you're being drawn to from the up level, because that is trying to take you to this ultimate desire of what you can do. Because if you buy those things, you have to up level yourself to be able to pay for them. You have to up level your performance. You have to up level your sales, whatever it is. All of that is taking you to the exact place that where it shows you what your life's purpose is. And it's very controversial, but you know, like, Thomas Troward wrote all about this in the Edinburgh and Dory lectures on mental science, like 100 years ago. It's fascinating. If you follow it, it will lead you to the thing that you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Love that. And in the episode, you did mention a callback to one of our previous episodes we did. And I just wanted to mention that here for people who really want to know what true desire looks like. That's episode 129. And that's titled, "What's the Difference Between a True Desire and a Want, Lust, or a Fear-Based Need?" So it's a pretty wordy title, but it will get people thinking a little bit about desire and, on the same hand, have them thinking a little bit about, well, what if I make a mistake on my desire? That desire could be specific in the moment right now, and it drives you towards something, and then that desire might shift a little bit, but it's still in line with what it is you're gunning for. So 100%. I thought that's brilliant. In the episode also, you shared the book Mamba Mentality, How I Play, and that was written by Kobe Bryant. What caused you to dive into that? Because I've never seen that book on your person before, and now you've got it, and I've seen it.
I just
several
got it.
Times.
I've only had it like for 2 weeks now. So this is the book. As you can see,
it's a huge book. Yeah, you got tabs already.
It's very well done, though. Like, it's got great pictures, but the pictures all tell a story, right? And they have, you know, he has captions. Like with the one with him and Jordan, it says, "I asked a ton of questions," right? So, like, Jordan admits that that Kobe was like a little brother to him, and he helped him his whole career. So the reason that I got the book was I was looking for things that were written. I mean, you know me, I'm always, as soon as I get onto somebody, I'm looking for books, right? Yeah. There's not much written about him as far as like a biography. I mean, there's a few things, but they're only a couple hours long. If you like listen to audio, there's not like a big one like for Jordan. So I saw that he wrote this book, and it just came out this last year before he died. And I'm like, no shit, I'm going to get that. I didn't know that he did that. I want to see what his last work was. So that's how I came across it. I found it on Amazon.
Yeah, it's amazing. What I love about that shot you just showed of him and Jordan at the All-Star game is that, you know, he wasn't embarrassed to go up and say, ask him any questions at all. There's a lot of people who would be like, well, you know, I really want to study from some of the greats in this field or that field, but I'm too embarrassed to reach out to them, or I'm too embarrassed to try and connect with them. And the truth of the matter is, you won't know unless you ask. And if you want to be the greatest at something, you should seek out those who are personifying that greatness 100%. In the moment. And as good as Kobe was, I mean, he was at the freaking All-Star game. That's like the top 1% of all the players who play basketball in the world are in that game. And here he is always learning. It's supposed to be a weekend of a weekend off and hanging out and eating good food and playing just this non-consequential game. He used that as an opportunity to learn even in that moment, which I think that tells you everything you need to know about the greatness of both Kobe Bryant and, of course, Michael Jordan for sure.
Yeah, and he even talks about Ali. Like, Ali was a mentor for him in there. There's a whole thing about Ali, how Ali impacted his life and his game.
Yeah, the greats never stop learning. I mean, no, obviously, clearly. Do. I mean, and that's a gift that you've given me, is you're always learning as well. You could easily rest on your laurels and just be who you are for the rest of your days, but you're constantly pushing yourself. And I think that shows that you've got what it takes to win, which I think is incredible. How much of this inspiration for this episode came from watching the documentary, The Last Dance? Because I know you're the one that we've had some conversations about this a little bit, and, you know, following the 6 titles that the Chicago Bulls won, the last being in 97, 98, you're a Chicago guy. So how much of this is inspiring you to do a little bit more study on these guys?
I think a lot. So I had, as you know, several years ago, but even before we did the podcast, I was really big on Jordan for a while. Like, I was studying what he was doing. And Arnold,
I mean, his poster, his slam dunk poster from the slam dunk championship is on our bathroom wall. Like, he's there. He's been there forever. That's so cool.
So when this came out, when The Last Dance came out, I got back into the book again. I'm just opening it up here. It's called let me put my glasses on. It's one of my favorite books. It's called Michael Jordan, The Life by Roland Lazenby. It's like the best book that has ever been written on Jordan. And it starts off with his great grandfather in like the swamps of North Carolina and on the Fear River, or, you know, like
Cape Fear,
Cape Fear River, running moonshine, running logs up and down the river. And that's where it starts. And it takes it all the way through to the end where he is now, basically, owning the Hornets or whatever. And so I started listening to the book again, and then I started, somehow or another, I started thinking about Kobe, and I started really doing a lot of research on Kobe, which I had not done before. I'd done it on Jordan, but not on Kobe. So I started doing it on Kobe, and I was amazed to find what I found, because there's a tremendous, I think the best information you could find on Kobe right now is the interviews that he did. If you go on YouTube, like, there's a ton of interviews that he did where he talks about the psychology, everything that he's done, the mindset behind what he's done. And when I started getting into it, I was like, you know something? There is something different here that I never really talked about before. At least I don't remember talking about it. But the idea was that these guys are thinking about how to win the game. And I think it was the interview that I mentioned in the podcast where the guy said, he actually pointed it out. That's what caused me to think about it differently. He pointed out and said, these guys are not thinking about how to play the game. They're thinking about how to win the game. Everybody else in the game is thinking about how to play the game. It's very different. They're going in, they're assassins. Like, they're complete assassins, and they're thinking about, how do I win this game? How do they win it individually, not with the team? Like, how do they be the pivot point that wins the game? And they play that way every single time. And I was like, that's a different mindset than the average winner. Like, that's another freaking level. And I wanted to talk about it. So that's what we're talking about.
I love that. And I'll tell you what, if you get triggered by any of that sort of situation, take a long, hard look at yourself and realize that there's some part of greatness that wants to get out. And because of the fact that you're not letting it, you're allowing that to stop and cloud your vision from studying these amazing people.
Totally.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's wind this down. Just one more thing. In the episode, you talked about 10% more. Like, if we start today doing 10% more than we've been doing, you're going to be so much further ahead down the road than the person who's just doing what is expected of them. Me personally, I do this myself whenever I'm running. Like, I'm supposed to run, 3 to 4 miles a day. But if I'm on a 3-mile day, you know I don't stop at 3 miles. I'll go 3.5, 3.75, sometimes even 4. I if I go a little bit more every day, by the end of the year, I've run an extra 100 or, you know, 100, 200 miles just by going a little extra every day. So the 10% is a brilliant concept, and I love that you brought it up. How does that apply to you personally, and what can we do to encourage people to just give that 10% more in their daily life?
So it started off with years ago when I was working with my mentor. He pointed a spread out to me that I thought was interesting. He said, if you do 1% more than the average, you'll end up with a 10% gain. If you do 10%, you'll end up with a 100% gain. And the people that I've studied, that seems to be very true. Like there's a market difference in their results. So I started that off with in my own sales, right? So if I could do 10% more than the average person, or even 10% more than I was doing the day before, the week before, the month before, what would my results be if I consistently did that? So I'm always trying to figure out a way to push that envelope in our business and what we do. And with the clients that, like, I think it's one of the reasons why we have such good results with our clients. We push them an extra 10% to, you know, give them the edge and the results in their life to get to that seven-figure mark and do it in a record time, you know, basically a record time frame. So it's I'm not perfect at it, I'll admit that, but I try to bring it to my life as much as I can.
Well, at least you're aware of it. If you're not, like, if you're struggling with something, you're aware of it. That's half the battle. And I mean, anybody who's out there, you're kidding yourself. If you're cutting corners, you're only kidding yourself. And it reminded me of the Kobe video you sent me earlier on this past week about, you know, cutting corners and how, you know, if you cut a corner now, you're going to cut a corner tomorrow and the next day. It just becomes easier to cut those corners moving forward. And really, the only person you're screwing over is yourself. Period.
100%. Every time it's yourself.
And if you do that, you're not performing what it takes to win, which was the entire basis for this episode.
Exactly.
Incredible. Well, this has been awesome. I love it. I know I could sit here and geek out about, you know, Kobe and Jordan and Ali and all the greats that have come before us, but we're going to wind this down, and just wanted to thank you for coming inside, Dave.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, T.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.